You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Urgent needs for all Israelis. I'm Russ Jones.
5 years later, President Obama is calling his health care law a success. This week marks the fifth anniversary of his signing of the Obamacare bill, and the president is celebrating by unveiling a new network to further reduce health care costs. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
In America, we believe in a future that is better than today. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has been working hard for their clients' futures, never taking a bailout, helping generations achieve dreams, buy homes, put their kids through college, retire how they want to. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you feel more confident about your financial future. Put the strength of a global financial leader to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your dreams and goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
And good morning. My name is Rich Scuderi, and our show is called Modern Design. We meet each Wednesday at 10 o'clock, and I'm very pleased this morning to have as my guest, a good friend of mine, and I see he's wearing the same shirt that I also own. His name is Carmine Levento. He is a supreme kitchen designer. Say good morning, Carmine.
Good morning, Rich.
Okay, let's start with the weather, see what we have in store for today. The computer's telling me that there's a 40% chance of showers today with a high of 45 degrees. Tonight, there's a 40% chance of continued showers. Thursday showers are likely, wow, I thought it was April showers, not March showers. 70% chance of showers on Thursday with a high of 62. At least it'll be warm on Thursday. On Friday night, there's again a 70% chance of showers on Thursday night. And then Friday, 20% of showers. So I think it's going to be sort of a wet next couple of days, Carmine, huh? What do you think? What
doesn't
do you say?
Doesn't sound too good.
Let me give you a little background about Carmine, and then he can tell you about himself. Carmine has worked with me in Maven Health for a couple of years now and has an extensive background in design, but specifically kitchen design. And I thought one of the things that come up a lot with people is kitchens. Kitchens and baths, of course, are hot items. And these days, 2015, there's so many choices and things that are available for kitchens. And I think people are probably more into their kitchens now than ever, wouldn't you say?
The kitchen is very much the main part of the main part of your house. People would rather have a good kitchen than a good living room.
And I think that's very important. I think people are, like you said, people aren't living in their living rooms. They're living in their kitchens.
They are.
And, you know, kitchens are a hot button for people. And it's also with the real estate market, if you're going to sell your home, you want to get top dollar. What area of the house do you want to improve the most? The kitchen.
Kitchens and baths, because people don't want that expense when they move into a new home. They don't mind painting, but they don't have to do the kitchen and the bath over again.
You're exactly right about that. So, Carmine, why don't you give us a little background about you? I know you went to school in New York, and you have quite a bit of experience in building in general. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I've done design for about 30 years, but pretty much grew up in a design-organized family. So even at a young age, it was not really a question of buying something. It was like, you need something? Design it. We have it made instead. So I'm very in tune to doing anything that's custom. When the advent of pre-manufactured cabinets came along, thankfully manufacturers are now in the position to customize virtually every single thing that they make. So basically we've gone back to custom once again. The big dilemma always then becomes, what color, what style, what color appliances. None of us have a crystal ball, so we can't look ahead for 20 years and tell you what's still going to be in style for 20 years. But nowadays, people change their homes so frequently that nothing is really considered so long-term any longer because they're willing to make a change.
Exactly, exactly. Well, let's talk about that in terms of the word custom, because that's something that confuses, I think, a lot of people.
It scares some people.
Well, cabinets, let's talk about cabinets, kitchen cabinets specifically. And, you know, there's a wide range of how you can do your kitchen cabinets. I mean, anybody, if you want, can go to a home improvement center and purchase cabinets, or someone could go to a design showroom and purchase cabinets that someone does a plan for them, or someone could actually go in and get a contractor or a craftsman carpenter and actually make cabinets for the space, which is really truly custom. Mm-hmm. What's the identity of each? Like, what would you consider stock? What would you consider semi-custom? And what would you consider custom? Because I think that's confusing for people about cabinets.
Well, stock effectively gives you no changes at all.
So is that when you're, does that mean, look, when you're buying boxes or cabinets, if you will, let's say you have a, I don't know, let's say you have a 12 by 10 kitchen, and you have a and you go out and you go to a home improvement center perhaps, or whatever resource, and you buy cabinets that are just done one way, or what would you consider against stock?
Well, stock is kind of one of those misnomers. Stock doesn't necessarily imply that anybody has the product in their possession yet.
Right.
But stock basically means the manufacturer has a list of components. They don't deviate from that.
Right.
They are typically more readily available, a shorter lead time, even if order is something that needs to be done.
So that's something you buy what they have, in essence?
Yes.
Okay.
And you make it work with the consideration of fillers and modifications that the manufacturers will not make, but sometimes you can make if necessary. Typically, it's on a lower budget project as well, too.
Right.
Because frequently there are not enough selections on there to give the custom market or the semi-custom market enough choices, both of woods, finishes, and styles. Once you deviate from that and you go into what's considered semi-custom nowadays, a semi-custom really hardly exists, because semi-custom realistically is custom nowadays.
Okay.
In the past, a few modifications were available. Now, those kind of manufacturers say no to nothing. Anything that you need to do can be made, insofar as dimensioning goes. They'll have limitations insofar as the number of offerings of door styles, woods, and finishes. But now most manufacturers have expanded their, especially paint finishes, to offer every combination of colors that paint manufacturers make.
Because there's a lot more. Don't you think there's a lot more choices now?
Well, everybody wants more choices.
Yeah.
In spite of the fact that a white selection, there may be 50 whites.
Exactly.
You know, a couple of whites are the usual ones that are chosen. But the fact of the matter is, to at least have the offering of 3,000 colors instead is baffling to many, but you know, maybe someone do want a blue kitchen or a red kitchen.
Exactly. And people are more open, I think, to like a blue, maybe a blue island or a red island.
Think about them. You know, apprehension usually, you know, enters into that, but you know, it's a great addition to a space.
So kind of semi-custom would be, I guess, then, so there's an offering made, but then you could pick different styles, in other words, different door styles, different...
Semi-custom was a term that was probably used more frequently in the past than now, just because custom scared a lot of people away unless they were in the right market for that.
But I think you're right. I think things are becoming more custom.
Yeah.
And I think, don't you think that people are in general become more educated with kitchens and with their homes?
Well, it's sophistication about them. It's all well and good to say that you can choose from 3,000 colors and 10 kinds of woods and 200 door styles. It's overwhelming often. But by the same token, when there are occasions where things must be perfectly fit and very specific, there's no issue at all getting a kitchen to be perfect any longer. It isn't so much as filling up a wall and adding fillers here and there. No, you just expand or decrease the dimensions of the cabinets to fill that space so it's perfect.
Now, what would you say truly custom is? Like, if someone said, I have a great new space, it's been demoed, or maybe new construction, and they call you in and they say, I want a custom kitchen. What is custom?
Custom typically would imply then that you would go to a craftsman, you would go to a cabinet shop where
right.
they actually build the piece exclusively and individually for that project.
So they're not mass manufactured?
They're not. It
okay.
doesn't mean that you couldn't potentially use components from a pre-manufacturing company, such as drawer boxes, doors, and things of that sort. But the reality of it is, you know, from the point of manufacturer as well as from the point of the homeowner, I'm getting something that nobody else has because
right.
they're being made for me and me alone, and nobody else has this like I have it. And the reality of it is, it frequently is true. You know, there are always some kind of limitations in one way, shape, or form. The creativity in being a designer allows you to go beyond the limitations that manufacturers would impose to make a product work as though it was strictly custom for that project, even in spite of the fact that you're actually using components to do that.
Are there any negatives if money was not the issue, or any negatives with going custom? Do you think people sometimes maybe get sort of out of proportion or overdue or personalized?
Not so much that. The difficulty in custom is the fact that every single detail must be chosen. It is not the manufacturer giving you a door shape and saying, this is how we make the door, in which case a panel door can be chosen for the raise of the panel, the edge of the door, the edge of the panel, the finish, the glaze, the hardware, the hinging, whether it's a frame or a frameless cabinet. So many decisions. Some people thrive on that. Others, you know, shy away from the consideration of that. Make it simpler for me or decide for me.
Exactly. So when most people call you in for a kitchen project, what's the impetus for them calling you in? Are they calling you in because they want you to pick a style for them, pick colors for them, or are they more calling you in because they want you to do a space plan for them or a layout?
My specific work tends to be by referral. So uh-huh. by the time I'm called in, they basically want me to give them a suggestion. Everyone has an idea.
Okay.
But they haven't refined all the ideas, or they haven't chosen their appliances, or they haven't gone to the next step of thinking, what are they going to do for counters and flooring and paint and hardware? And each of those certainly has a huge impact on the whole project. And unfortunately, sometimes the inability to make a decision is minimized by moving ahead and choosing the next product instead.
Right.
So I'm not sure of the finish color, but I know I want this color countertop. All right, let's work backwards then instead. Or we've found a floor that we like, but we don't know what to do with it from here.
So they have some sort of, oh, that's kind of interesting. So they have some sort of a wish list or a hard surface that they like, and then you work around that.
Almost nobody starts with nothing.
Nothing.
Meaning, I want white cabinets. The big question that comes up today, of course, is, you know, twofold. Okay, if I don't do stainless steel appliances, what else can I do? And if I don't do granite for countertops, what else can I do?
You know, it's funny. We're going to go into commercial in a minute, so I want to continue as we come back. But isn't it funny that people almost seem like stainless steel and granite are the standard now, and then 20 years ago, no one had that, even if you had money, right?
Right, right.
So it's, you know, it's funny how people's perception of what a kitchen is has changed and
has
begun.
Well, the question comes up on occasion, you know, granite is not a new invention. Like, where did it come from all of a sudden? Why did it become so popular?
And people are expecting it, I think, in small condos and apartments as much as they are in big homes.
And the reality is you can expect it because, I mean, even the cost of it effectively has come down just because there's so much of it.
Right. And
the demand is there. Everybody wants it. So even if you have to spend for it, you've got to have it because everybody else wants it.
Because there's an expectation of that's what a kitchen should have. And the same thing with stainless steel appliances, don't you think? I mean, people didn't have stainless steel appliances even 15 years ago.
They did have them 50 years
ago. Well, they always had them, but the masses didn't have
them. And of course, then things went to white, and there's an interest in white once more.
Okay, we just have to go to commercial. We'll be back with more of Modern Design.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Even in this difficult economy, our family of companies, including Insight Financial, Premier College Funding, and the Insight Tax and Accounting Group, have grown and prospered. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel.
In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend.
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed, they're tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to forwardnewjersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
And we are back. Welcome to Modern Design. If you're just tuning in to us today, my guest today is Carmine Levento. He is a kitchen designer with quite a bit of experience. I've worked with him, and we work in Maven Hill on many projects in regards to kitchens. And prior to a commercial break, we were talking about the expectation of what kitchens are and what they used to be. And I can remember even as early as maybe, I'd say probably 15 years ago. I think most people even 15 years ago did not necessarily have stainless steel appliances and granite. I mean, it was always out there, but it seems to be that, for mica, people really have gotten to a point, a level of sophistication. And that's not to say that Formica has put out some terrific products. I mean, there are a lot of, depending upon the price point and where you are, there are a lot of, besides granite, there are a lot of other options. And same thing with appliances. There are a lot of other interesting options as well. And as you say, granite and stainless steel were always around, but very few had them at the time.
Well, that was it. If you went back even 50 years ago, stainless steel was an important appliance finish.
Exactly.
And I guess it unfortunately didn't appeal to the masses, but it was more in a better line of appliances when there were better lines. Fast forward to, this time now, of course, everything that's in stainless steel in a good grade, of course, is more or less a commercial-esque appliance or built-in, again, typically with a higher price point. There are less expensive, and of course, they've come out with, clean steel and stainless steel looking appliances and things of that sort.
What's the whole thing with the stainless steel now that supposedly doesn't have fingerprints?
It's just a finish that they apply to it. Some of these products are not genuine stainless steel.
That was my question. Is it not stainless steel?
It's steel with nickel, of course, in it, which makes it rust resistant. Of course, you can always test it because stainless steel is non-magnetic.
Really? Isn't that interesting? So you have a refrigerator and you say it's stainless steel and you put a magnet on it?
It'll fall off.
Oh, yeah. See, wow, that's something that I never knew.
And that's the real test of it. When someone says that it is stainless steel or stainless steel looking, they can certainly brush steel or put a finish on it to make it look as though it is. But if a magnet sticks to it, it's really still steel underneath. which is perfectly fine. You know, it certainly changes the price point for the appearance. You know, in many markets, of course, everyone has the aspiration of wanting commercial-grade appliances and built-in things. Of course, they come with high price tags, but the reality of it is we're in a market collectively where we have budgets that allow that all the time. You know, when we spoke about a few minutes ago, you know, the question becomes, well, what if I don't want to do stainless steel? Thankfully, manufacturers are, you know, addressing that. They've come up with bronze color now from different manufacturers.
Like an oil rub bronze.
Which is a very good look. Very specific. It's not for everyone, of course, and it is expensive.
Right.
And white has never really lost popularity, but now white is being readdressed at being something that should be reconsidered for those situations where someone said, well, I did stainless steel already. What can I do next? Or what's going to be the next finish?
I've been told that like colored glass, and I don't know if you've heard that or not, but glass in colors is sort of where they want to go with it as the next phase. Have you heard that as well?
They've come out with, Jen Air has come out with that already.
Right. But I'm not seeing it happening. I don't see it catching on.
It hasn't been hugely accepted yet, but I think it's like anything else. Most people are still in the mindset of stainless steel. It's only those that have done a few kitchens over the years and have done stainless before. And it isn't even so much the maintenance of it. It's like anything else. If that's what you want and it takes a little bit of maintenance or cleaning or upkeep to make those appliances sparkle, you do that.
Just do
Other
that,
people look at it and feel, you know, this is a hard-working appliance, no less, too, especially in a commercial grade. They can cook on 8 burners and they can bake and they can scour and scrub and you can't wear the finish off. Sure, it's going to show wear, but imagine you were in a restaurant or something. Those are not beautiful appliances, but they hold up for a very long time.
Right. They're very durable. Let's talk about, speaking about durability, I certainly have my own prejudices and things that I like, but I'm always curious to take somebody else's perspective of what they think. And one of the things to me is I like to start with the floor, kitchen floors. It's become more acceptable, if you will, or more common that I see people now want wood on their kitchen floors. And in years past, people always would say, okay, I want hardwood on the first floor, but I want my kitchen to be tile or a surface that could be mopped. They were concerned about water and wood. How do you feel about having natural wood as a kitchen floor?
Once again, if we go way back in time before the world.
It evolves.
People always had wooden floors, and no one even gave it a second thought.
Right.
Became a style consideration, of course, when carpet became really prevalent, people covered up their hardwood floors with carpet.
Right.
And then the time passed again, and now they've exposed them. Of course, now wood looks like a product that should go into other rooms, including even bathrooms on occasion. Now with the advent of heating floors, with ceramic tile that looks like wood planking.
Oh, I know. There's so many choices.
Of, you know, again, an old surface that was probably popular in the 50s, cork flooring. Again, it's resilient. It's durable. It can be finished. It comes in every color.
Here's the one thing about cork that I'm concerned about, but I'm sure it's treated. If you get oil on cork, isn't that a problem?
Cork is naturally water-resistant, floats.
Right.
So it really wouldn't take the oil in. Secondly, of course, the...
I just thought it would be porous for some reason.
Most cork floors have a clear finish on them.
Right. They would probably have some sort of a...
You know, something likened to a polyurethane, but not exactly.
Right.
And, of course, that's the other reason that wood has gotten even more interest in kitchens is the fact that in the past, of course, everything had to be oil-finished, you know, golden-colored polyurethane. Well, now we have crystal-clear acrylics instead. The finishes hold up well in the kitchen. Thankfully, hardly anyone ever has a flood in their kitchen. Like dishwashers don't overflow, and people don't have their washer and dryer in their kitchen very much any longer. Sinks don't fill up the same way. So water on the floor is really no more than walking in with wet feet into your living room or your foyer than it is in the kitchen any longer.
Well, that being said, what is your preference? Do you like wood as a kitchen floor, or do you prefer a tile surface or some sort of...
I have never had it, but I certainly specify it a lot.
Okay.
In older homes specifically, it's a given today that they would like their floors to be constant through the whole house.
Because that's how it would have been many years ago.
Right, before people had eat-in kitchens, and even some homes where there were actually staff to run the kitchens.
Right.
Granted, not everyone lives that way, but by the same token, you know, the wear and tear in the kitchen is really not much greater, simply because also the finishes are much more durable than ever.
Right. And then if someone opts to do a tile finish, you hit upon quickly that now that we have the tile that looks like wood, tile that looks like everything. Tile is really come a long way, don't you think? And beautiful.
I mean, the wood look ceramic tiles now are super. I mean, bathrooms, patios, entrances, every shape, color, design, texture that there is now out there.
But so, even tile that doesn't look like wood, tile has gotten very interesting, don't you think? Different
absolutely.
Shapes, different
I mean,
colors.
You can replicate anything. If you want something that looks like marble but really isn't, there's a dead ringer for it. If you want something that looks like old stone, limestone, and often they're tough to tell the difference. I mean, unless you actually got down on it and tapped on it or scrutinized the finish.
You're really right about that.
A lot of things are really difficult to tell the difference because technology is so good that they can duplicate anything.
And also tile, I think, is probably easy to maintain, easy to keep clean.
The greatest complaint, of course, is the grout.
Right.
You know? And, you know, in certain finishes, you would use an acrylic, in which case it is really totally non-porous and non-textured. In other cases, there are sealers. You can change the color of grout. Of course, there are so many grout colors to contend with. But, you know, those are just things that you just have to accept. You know, the tray being, a vinyl floor instead. Not that there aren't probably better than decent products out there. It just doesn't have the same appeal any longer because people look at it as being low-end, even though it's not inexpensive.
Right, exactly, because you could have a high-end vinyl that's more expensive than a beautiful tile.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely. So we talked a little bit about flooring. We talked a little bit about cabinets. Let's talk about backsplashes, because backsplashes, everybody has an opinion about backsplashes. It's funny because, again, years ago, you know, people had that, was it 4-inch backsplash? And then there was sheetrock.
It was formica,
And it was formica. And then there was sheetrock. But now everybody has a backsplash. Do you have a preference for backsplashes? One of the things that I tell my clients when I meet with them is a backsplash is a hard surface. So be very careful of not to go too trendy because in 5 years you don't want to be ripping it out. Other than that, I sort of leave it up to them because it's a way to sort of personalize the kitchen. But I was kind of curious of your thoughts about incorporating a backsplash with either the granite or the surfaces or the cabinets. How do you feel about backsplashes, and do you have any particular things that you like to work with for a backsplash?
In general, backsplashes really take two directions. In some kitchens, a backsplash is a prominent location. I mean, a prominent visibility because they have nothing on their counters.
Right.
In other kitchens, it's simply another piece of surface. They have appliances. They've got televisions. There are a million things on the countertop. So it now becomes a more neutral background of sorts. In a kitchen where you've got either great visibility, especially behind a large range where you may want to do something focal, certainly tile gives you great flexibility. If you don't even want to change color, you can certainly rotate the direction of the tile. It can be cut into different shapes, patterns, borders, and things of that sort. Granted, with the advent of the popularity now of glass, no less,
right.
There's not a color of glass, there's not a shape of glass, there's
you can't get,
a horizontal
right.
or a vertical position, or now we're seeing glass mixed in with pieces of metal,
yeah.
and stone, and marble, and limestone, and all kinds of things happening. So effectively everything goes. It often becomes a difficult decision, but it's usually the last decision that someone will make. It comes after your countertops are chosen, and of course, it's simply a decorative surface. It is always the last thing to be done in the kitchen.
Right. So it's like the finishing touch.
For those people that have a hard time making the choice, you let things evolve. You know, a floor is a big area, counters are very prominent, cabinets are big. You can function without a backsplash, but sometimes you need to see it all together before you make that decision.
Yeah, to complete the puzzle.
You know, even in the past, and there are still even locations where, you know, in a small dose, you may want to put a sheet of glass, a sheet of the same countertop material, even mirror for that matter in certain areas, serving areas or display areas. Mirror is nice. Take some maintenance, but let's forego the maintenance situation. Let's just imagine, hey, who cares what the maintenance is? You know, we're doing it for the sake of effect. Glass gives you that same kind of reflection as well, too. It gives you the kind of a depth situation.
Right. And light. You know, I think it adds light to a space. Or we're coming up to the news. We're coming up to news now, and then we'll come back and continue talking about backsplashes with Carmine Lefento.
USA Radio News. I'm Ron Taylor. German Wings Airlines officials say at least two U.S. citizens were among the 150 on board the plane that crashed in the French Alps on Tuesday. The jetliner was flying from Spain to Germany when it crashed. Everyone on board is presumed dead.
5 years in, President Obama is calling his health care law a success. This week marks the fifth anniversary of Obama signing the Affordable Care Act. Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz is signing up for health care under the plan he's vowed to repeal. The Texas senator says he will sign up for health insurance on a federal exchange under the Affordable Care Act. The suspect in Tuesday night's murder of a San Jose, California police officer is dead. The veteran San Jose officer was shot while responding to a call of a man threatening to kill himself in an apartment complex. The suspect was later found dead in the apartment. Boeing has a new force field projector that could protect troops and vehicles against roadside bombs. The company's newly patented device could be mounted on a Humvee and would sense an explosion from an IED. This is USA Radio News.
Bad credit card debt happens to good people. Credit card companies lure you in with low introductory rates or low minimum payments. And before you know it, you owe thousands of dollars in credit card debt. It has happened to millions of good people just like you. But here's the good news. Thanks to a powerful program now approved, anyone with $2,000 or more in credit card debt can cut their credit card payments up to half and even reduce or eliminate interest charges altogether. That's right. Our nationwide nonprofit program is helping U.S. residents cut their credit card payments. Call 800-991-6376 now. The call and information are free. Credit Guard has helped over 500,000 people with their credit card debt, and now we can help you. Call 800-991-6376 to see how this powerful nonprofit program can work for you. Bad credit card debt happens to good people. Get free of credit card debt today. Call 800-991-6376. That's 800-991-6376. Again, 800-991-6376.
A Cornell University dean is caught on hidden camera, and it sounds like he's okay with ISIS. Alice Stockton Rossini reports.
Cornell's assistant student dean had an interesting chat with an undercover reporter posing as a Moroccan student who asked, could he start a pro-ISIS club?
There's a lot of our student organizations that do things like that.
Could he send care packages to terrorists?
And I think programs like that, we really do have a good place here at Cornell.
How about a freedom fighter training camp?
You'd be allowed to do something like that, just like bringing in a coach to do a training on a sports team.
Wonder how Joe Scafito's doing after he got burned by Project Veritas. A Cornell flack told the conservative activist group the college supports a free exchange of ideas, but that part about ISIS training doesn't reflect university policy. Alice Stockton Rossini, New York.
Kraft Foods and ketchup kingpin Heinz are merging. Heinz is owned in part by Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway and 3G Capital. The merge would create the third largest food and beverage company in North America. The deal is worth an estimated $40 billion. This is USA Radio News.
Did you get a new job last year? Or did you not get a new job because on the way to the interview you remembered you're terrible at interviews, so you hired a guy off the internet to do the interview for you and didn't really think it through because he got the job and is now very happy in his new position? Huh. No matter what you went through last year, answering questions like, did you get a new job, is much simpler. Intuit TurboTax. It's amazing what you're capable of.
The UN Security Council has expressed, quote, profound disappointment about the failure to finalize a peace agreement for South Sudan. USA's John Clemens has more.
The war in the oil-rich East African country has left tens of thousands dead, with an estimated 2 million people displaced. Now the UN Security Council has threatened additional sanctions against what it called senior individuals, identified as those responsible for actions or policies that threaten peace. Francis Deng is the UN ambassador for South Sudan.
The government is understandably disappointed by the plan to impose sanctions rather than adopting measures that will encourage parties to cooperate with the international community for peace.
I'm John Clemens.
It's normal for parents to stop reading aloud to their kids by about age six, but a new study says that's not necessarily the best thing to do. The Scholastic and YouGov Kids and Family Reading Report says parents should keep reading aloud to their kids a lot longer, and Scholastic parenting expert Maggie McGuire says that's not the only research indicating this.
All of the research shows that kids actually, A, love being read aloud to, even after the age of six, and there are inherent benefits to reading aloud for a very long time, up into their teens.
McGuire says reading aloud to younger kids builds vocabulary and comprehension skills and is a good bonding tool. The study results came out earlier this month for World Read Aloud Day on March 4th. Join us at USA Headline News for more special interest stories, news, and headlines.
And we are back with Modern Design. If any of you ever want to come out and meet me in person or give me some questions or stump me with some of your pictures, you're welcome to come to my showroom. I'm located at 1 U.S. Highway 31 in Flemington, New Jersey. The phone number is 908 888-884-0770. I'm in the Kitchen Expo Plaza at the Flemington Circle. If you're just tuning in to us now, I'm here with a very good friend and business associate, Carmine Leventa, who's a terrific kitchen designer and has a wealth of knowledge. And we were talking about backsplashes in a kitchen and how they become quite important and the different surfaces that can be used in backsplash. I just wanted to add that for me, I often, because I feel that, you know, pulling out, after you put a backsplash in, pulling out a backsplash is a big deal because often you'd have to replace the sheetrock and so on. So I try to tell people not to go too trendy. There are people that are going to want to do what's on trend, what they see on Houzz or any of these websites, and you can't talk them out of it, and that's fine. For the most part, I prefer to do something that's relatively timeless. Now, you can't do everyone the same, and I wouldn't want to do everyone the same, but I'm a big fan of just subway tile. I like nice, clean, white subway tile. Now, probably a lot of people say that's boring, but what I tell people is, you know what? Do a backdrop that's relatively neutral as your backsplash. Then put platters up. But like you said, put things on the counter that are attractive, and you can change those things out. Change your paint color in the kitchen. But hard surfaces are a big deal to change out. So I'm curious of how you feel about that as far as backsplashes are concerned. People, you know, doing big sheets of glass, which are kind of in right now, or doing metal that they're going to get tired of. It's kind of like doing Harvest Gold appliances or avocado, that type of thing, where you go something that's so on trend and so great at the time, and then it becomes sort of a joke down the road.
Well, I suspect that a good argument to that becomes what is trendy.
Right.
Something lasts longer than a short period of time. Do we still consider it to be a trend, or do we think, gee, this has become mainstream now?
Right.
And that's all, always the case. Needless to say, style plays a huge, has a large impact on the selection of these things. Subway tile is great, in a lot of situations. But of course, subway tile really has taken the place of like 4x4 square tile instead. Which
you're right.
Everybody put in place.
Everybody put in place.
It was the easy suggestion.
Right.
4x4 tiles come in every color imaginable. Right. Subway tile again now has, in relative terms, simply a rectangular shaped tile can be now narrow and long.
Yeah, typically short. 3x6, or it could be any size.
You could run the tile as a herringbone. You could run it vertically instead of just horizontally. So you can play with the direction and make it look completely different in spite of the fact that it's exactly the same tile.
Subway tile is very classic. I think it is also trendy right now at the same time because the look of everything has become linear. And I think you hit the nail on the head that previously people were doing 4x4s. A lot of times they were doing it on a diamond shape, and they were inserting something in there, and that was sort of the style, or just straight with an inlay and so on. But because things have become much more linear, I think that's why subway tile is kind of trendy. But it's cool because it's also always been in style.
And the reality of it works well for contemporary installations,
yes,
as well as traditional.
Traditional.
People accept it in all kinds of settings because the fact of the matter is there are subway tiles that are designed to be contemporary, and there are subway tiles that are designed to look like they belonged in an old subway in the past. They have a little bit of a surface ripple to them to make them look as though they're old.
And here's a thing for me. There's no hard set rules on what should go together, but it's been for me in my design projects, if I'm going to help somebody with a kitchen, if they're going to do a polished granite or a polished surface, I often like the backsplash to be matte. I like a contrast in sheen also. And it doesn't have to be the case, but that's kind of what I kind of prefer. I like a difference in contrast. I also personally don't necessarily – sometimes people have taken the countertop surface up the wall completely and done it the same, and I'm not a big fan of that. And I was wondering how you feel about those two things. And it's just aesthetics because everybody – there's no wrong answer. It's just what you like or don't like.
Curiously, you can spend a lot of money per square foot on tile.
Right.
But by the same token, it's almost always going to be less costly than running the countertop material up the wall.
That's true.
I mean, effectively, to do backsplashes with, say, the same granite materials on your countertops almost costs the same as what your countertops would cost to do your backsplashes.
You're right.
Now, granted, there are occasions where the look is wonderful simply because of the fact that it's gorgeous stone, it's sleek, there's no grout to contend with, it's perfectly fitted, et cetera, et cetera. But it's a whole different look. I mean, it's reminiscent of a look in the past where people did full height Formica backsplashes because automatically, if you didn't want a 4-inch splash, you'd run it all the way up. And of course, the Formica on the back was always the same as the Formica on the counter.
Right.
So that is reminiscent of that. The practical side of it, of course, now today becomes the cost factor. you can buy, sometimes you can find tile rather inexpensively, in which case, in spite of the fact that you may even look at it and say, it's a high price per square foot, there's not that much surface, so therefore the whole budget is not so terrible to do.
Right, because even if you're doing an expensive item, yes, you're not using a lot of it. Exactly. What do you prefer?
I still like tile there. Uh-huh. There are so many things now to pick from there's no limitation to the effect that you can attain by selecting a tile. You can do something just candidly as simple as a 4x4 tile. Well, let's put on the diagonal, or let's run it vertically and stagger it rather than staggering it horizontally. Put a little dot of something in. Sometimes a piece of the granite material or the countertop material can be cut as an insert or cut some pieces as tile and place them in there. When you're doing anything featuring a backsplash, it takes a lot of layout because it isn't arbitrary any longer. Symmetry is a big part of that. Sometimes the room is just unbalanced to a degree that doesn't work well. And visibility is always the bottom line. You know, it's all well and good even to put something busy as a total background as opposed to something more neutral just because it's the sake of simplicity and the fact it may just work very well with the countertops. But, you know, some people have nothing on their counters and some people still put a lot of things back on their countertops.
Exactly, exactly. I want to transition a little bit. We didn't talk about sinks yet, and I find sinks very critical and very interesting. For me, it's a pet peeve when people have sinks that are too shallow. I like a deep sink. And typically, when you do an installation, what do you recommend for a depth for a sink?
It partially is a consideration of the height of the people using the sink.
Oh, that's very valid.
Because in the past, there were sinks that were as shallow as 5 inches.
Right.
We look at them and say, those are like trays.
Right.
You know,
what do you do if you have a stock pot?
The water splashes out, it's on the counter, and of course, nothing fits in the sink. Today, 8 is nice, 9, 10,
right,
they come as deep as 12.
Right.
The problem with a 12-inch one, especially for a taller person, you're bent over in the sink all the time.
Very true.
So a good depth tends to be 9 or 10 inches.
Right.
And of course, that undermounted beneath a piece of countertop material adds another inch to the overall depth because the countertop has thickness as well, too.
Exactly.
The other thing that bothers me a lot is multiple sinks, meaning a small prep sink next to a large sink. There's nothing better than one large sink with a garbage disposal attached to that.
Again, you mean undivided space, like one sink,
yes,
as opposed to two sinks? Oh, I agree 100%.
It's curious how, you know, there are beautiful configurations of divided sinks, whether they're cast iron, whether they are acrylic, whether they're stainless steel. But the impracticality of that is so outweighed by a single bowl that anyone that really opts for that, unless they have multiple sinks, and often that is the case too. You know, there are kitchens that have two, even sometimes a third sink in the room.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times I think people do that and they'll put like a vegetable sink or something in the island, and those never get used. I never see them getting used. I think, to me, as you say, one good deep sink undivided is a way
curious
to go.
It's people have their own things. I remember doing a house where we had three sinks in the kitchen, and it was very clear that one sink was there just to water the plants.
Yeah.
There was always a plant standing in that sink when I went there. But nothing. There's nothing like one large, big, deep sink with a nice high faucet with a spray head.
Oh, I agree.
You know, again, choosing hardware and faucets is another huge job because there's just so much to pick from.
Oh, wow. And after we're going to take some commercials now, but after commercial, I want to talk about hardware. But one last thing before I'll get in before. What do you think about a farm sink, an apron sink or a farm sink?
The only complaint about a farm sink is the fact that they're only one depth. They're almost always only 8 inches deep.
Right.
So they're slightly shallow. They're nice because you can get up close to them, especially if you're a shorter person. They're very style specific in spite of the fact that they now have ones that really blend with the contemporary interior. You can get them in metal, stainless, copper, bronze. But I guess I am guardedly curious about them simply because I like something a little deeper than they are usually.
I agree. I think that's a good point. Okay, we'll go to commercial and we'll have more of Modern Design.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com Mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hi, my name is Debbie Lentenny of Assure Shred. I love being a member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Active involvement in it has given us numerous opportunities to meet other business owners and simultaneously has helped Assure Shred to grow.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You shouldn't give for the accolades. You shouldn't give for the back pats. You shouldn't give for the tax breaks either. At Jersey Mike's, we think you should give for one reason and one reason only. To give. Come in to any Jersey Mike's location during March for our month of giving and join us as we help support local charities across the country all month long. It's your chance to get a tasty sub sandwich and help do something good for the community you call home. And on Wednesday, March 25th, Jersey Mike's is proud to be donating 100% of sales to a charity right in your own backyard. Jersey Mike's. Help nourish. Help flourish. Be a sub above.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
And we are back with Modern Design. I'm again have the pleasure to have Carmine Levento, kitchen designer, with us, and we're talking about different surfaces in our kitchen. We've talked a lot about cabinets. We've talked about flooring. We've talked about backsplashes. I want to talk a little bit about countertops themselves. And we've been referencing granite generically, I think, pretty much for the show. But there's so many other surfaces. And I want to talk about quartz versus granite, because a lot of people are still kind of not sure what quartz actually is. And can you tell us what quartz is as opposed to granite?
Well, quartz is a man-made, very hard surface as well.
Right.
It's made, again, of stone particles held together with a small amount of resin.
So it is made of natural surfaces, but combined with
A resin that basically holds it all together.
Right.
In spite of the fact that the fallacy often becomes, I'll do quartz instead because it'll be less costly. Typically, it is a little bit more expensive than most basic granite patterns.
Exactly.
Simply because it is manufactured. It is not naturally occurring in nature. Not that there are not granites and marbles that can hugely exceed the cost of a man-made product just because of rarity. But generally speaking, quartz is not something that you would necessarily choose for a budget consideration. You would choose it really for the sake of appearance. It, of course, comes in some funky finishes, meaning lime green and red and purple, which normally would not occur naturally in nature.
Right, because there's more choices because it's manufactured.
Manufacturers can do that.
Right.
But there are some companies who actually have produced a quartz that looks quite natural looking, in fact, much better than things once were in the past. Not so long ago, there were quartz that had sparkles in them and that did not look at all like anything that would happen in nature. And they certainly have a market, but probably more for commercial applications, more interesting perhaps for vanity tops and kitchens. But nothing is with limitations of the availabilities of every kind of color, style, and finish, and also now textured finishes as well, too, not just smooth polished finishes.
Oh, you know, one thing you and I were looking at the other day was the leathered finish, yeah, which seems to be not new, but sort of relatively new. And you like that, don't you?
New because it's being featured now.
Okay.
I mean, that, like flamed, like honed, there are many different surfaces that can be applied to stones. The situation that often arises is a maintenance consideration. And, those certainly are thoughts. But in reality, when you're looking for something that you'd like different than just a polished finish, there are now choices that are readily available because they're now becoming more widely manufactured and accepted. And a lot more stones are now being available in a textured finish.
And then what about if budget is an issue and doing some sort of generic formica or some sort of – I mean, there's something called, I think, formica HD. They have gotten better looking, don't
Absolutely.
You think?
Absolutely. I mean, there is wonderful laminate out there. People feel as though they're shooting themselves in the foot and, they're embarrassed to say that they would have to put a laminate in. But the reality of it is there are some that are – so good looking that there's no reason on earth not to consider laminate. Granted, there's probably no one that would option for laminate over granite if the budget allowed them, but to have to make that consideration sometimes for a laundry space or any other number of spaces where you say, I'm just not going to spend the money on doing granite, what else is there? There are great looking laminates.
They're matte finishes. They have a stone look to them. They can be very rich.
Yeah, there are textures to them. Again, you can get them in likened to a leather finish and a slate finish and little pockmarks so they look like natural granite. So the reality of it is, again, manufacturers, laminate manufacturers know that their greatest and most direct competition, of course, is natural stone. They're going to attempt to replicate that as much as possible. And you mentioned a moment ago that some of these other, I forget what the product name is, but they've actually photographed full slabs of stone.
Right.
So that there is no repeat on the product from sheet to sheet, so it looks more natural than it was in the past where sheet after sheet after sheet was identical.
Carmine, if you were going to design for your next house, which we talk about all the time, if you were going to design your own kitchen, you had a blank slate to work with, what would your surfaces be? Starting with the floor. Blank slate, what would you pick as your floor?
I'm already anticipating that. I would absolutely do a wood look ceramic tile in a herringbone finish.
Okay. Talk about herringbone, because everybody knows what herringbone is.
Herringbone is more like a repetition of inverted and upright V patterns.
V's, right, exactly.
So that, and of course, it's something that has been seen very traditionally in period interiors, museums, castles, things of that sort. Always been available in a wood floor product, but of course, it's rather busy, number one. It's a labor intensive. But now that it's available in ceramic tile, I absolutely would consider doing that.
Okay, and then what would you do, radiant floor heat?
Well, that's according to the building. There are many circumstances where during a kitchen redesign, we've encumbered all the exterior walls of a room, in which case now we have no place for heat to go. So therefore, it has no choice but to either come as a toe kick heater space or sometimes overhead, or of course, in a perfect world, it's just wonderful to heat floors. If someone's budget allowed, then they could do radiant heat in their whole house. It's just a wonderful thing. It's quiet. It doesn't vary. There's no jolt of heat. The floors just emanate that warmth all the time. You can walk barefoot anywhere you want, but just don't always allow that to be
all right,
the case.
All right. So we have unfortunately 3 minutes left. So I'll try to get this all in. Carmine's wish list. Okay. So we start with the floor, herringbone tile that looks like wood. What would you do with your cabinets?
I would imagine I would probably go to a painted finish. I've done wood and glaze and laminates and things in the past, but I guess I'm ready for a painted wood cabinet next.
And would you make the island a different paint finish than the perimeter cabinets?
More than likely, yes. Okay. I won't limit myself to either black or to charcoal or gray, of course, which is the super strong neutral now. But color is a very cool thing, and I love to use color, so I would have no problem trying to incorporate that.
So perimeter cabinets would probably be what color? White?
Some white tone, more than likely, unless I did white appliances. And I would really investigate them very carefully, because I'm in the same boat now, thinking, okay, I've done stainless. What would I do next? It would be nice to change to something else.
Okay, and then what about for an island? What would you do for an island to make it different or unique?
Well, shape is a big deal about that. You can change the door style on the island. You can do open space on an island. An island could be something permanent, like something that looks like a huge table. It can be legs rather than just cabinets. It's usually difficult to put a different top material on that, meaning another countertop in a single kitchen, but that's always an aspiration.
And then finally, backsplash. What kind of a backsplash do you do? Dream backsplash.
I would probably do glass next time. I mean, I've done tumbled, I've done laminate, I've done porcelain. Next time, I anticipate doing something in glass.
Wow. Okay, believe it or not, we're coming down to the end of the show. Is there any tips, finally, for people who are going out and they're venturing out and to do their kitchen over there? Any general tips that you can offer our
Absolutely.
Audience?
Don't take anything for granted. Don't assume that there's only stainless steel in a good grade. Look at everything. If you have a color in mind, don't neglect investigating it. Don't automatically consider the fact that things are going to be out of your budget. Price everything. And at the end of the day, dream.
That's very good advice, and I thank you for being our guest today. Our guest originally was supposed to be Ralph from Pro Blinds. Unfortunately, he had an illness in his family, but he will be my guest next Wednesday on Modern Design. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week on Modern Design.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
USA Radio News. I'm Ron Taylor. German Wings Airlines officials say at least two U.S. citizens were among the 150 on board the plane that crashed in the French Alps on Tuesday. The jetliner was flying from Spain to Germany when it crashed. Everyone on board is presumed dead. 5 years in, President Obama is calling his health care law a success. This week marks the fifth anniversary of Obama signing the Affordable Care Act. Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz is signing up for health care under the plan he's vowed to repeal. The Texas senator says he will sign up for health insurance on a federal exchange under the Affordable Care Act. The suspect in Tuesday night's murder of a San Jose, California police officer is dead. The veteran San Jose officer was shot while responding to a call of a man threatening to kill himself in an apartment complex. The suspect was later found dead in the apartment. Boeing has a new force field projector that could protect troops and vehicles against roadside bombs. The company's newly patented device could be mounted on a Humvee and would sense an explosion from an IED. This is USA Radio News.
Bad credit card debt happens to good people. Credit card companies lure you in with low introductory rates or low minimum payments. Before you know it, you owe thousands of dollars in credit card debt. It has happened to millions of good people just like you. But here's the good news. Thanks to a powerful program now approved, anyone with $2,000 or more in credit card debt can cut their credit card payments up to half and even reduce or eliminate interest charges altogether. That's right. Our nationwide nonprofit program is helping U.S. residents cut their credit card payments. Call 800-
1-800-991-6376 now. The call and information are free. Credit Guard has helped over 500,000 people with their credit card debt, and now we can help you. Call 800-991-6376 to see how this powerful nonprofit program can work for you. Bad credit card debt happens to good people. Get free of credit card debt today. Call 800-991-6376. That's 800-991-6376. Again, 800-991-6376.
A Cornell University dean is caught on hidden